This is the Making Good Podcast, episode 24. Welcome to the Making Good Podcast with me, Jen Gale. Stay tuned for inspirational stories from ethical and social entrepreneurs and people making good stuff happen in their communities, as well as tips, tools, and techniques to help you grow your ethical business and amplify your impact. Hello, welcome back to the Making Good Podcast and to another interview with someone making good stuff happen. This week I'm chatting to Sian Conway, who's the founder of Twitter chat Ethical Hour. We'll hear from Sian how Ethical Hour has grown from nothing in the space of just 1 year to a Twitter chat that now reaches millions of people each week and has also become a business at the same time as well. Now, I know that Twitter is a platform that lots of people struggle with, so I asked Sian if she could go back to basics for us. And she covers everything from who should be using Twitter, what on earth a hashtag is, through to how to get your first followers and start getting some of that all-important engagement. As ever with these interviews, there are loads of absolute gems and lots of links too, so I've posted all of the links over at jengale.co.uk. But I'd advise you to grab a pen and paper now, ready to take some notes so you don't miss anything. Enjoy. Hello, Sian. It's fabulous to have you here. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to this one because I know we're going to get so much value and so much information out of this one, not to put any pressure on.
Oh, no pressure.
Brill. Can you start by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about what it is that you do? And I'm always really interested to hear how people got there as well.
Sure. So I'm Sian and I'm the founder of the Ethical Hour Network, which is an online global network that exists to support people to be more ethical in their life and their work and their business. So a couple of years ago, I went traveling in Cambodia, and while I was there, I really got interested in ethical fashion. It's not really something I'd ever massively considered before. I'd kind of known a little bit about it, but I was meeting garment workers and took a visit to Silk Island, where they weave silk by hand, and met some artisans that were creating these gorgeous silk garments. And I was actually getting dressed the next morning and I noticed a label in a pair of trousers that had come from a high street fashion shop, and it said made in Cambodia. And that's when I kind of started questioning, where are our clothes made and how are they made? And obviously the made in Cambodia that was in my trousers was not the same as these artisans who have these amazing hand weaving skills and things. It's probably in quite an unethical factory. So I started getting interested. And I actually set up a business with my mum to import some of the silk, and we set up Little Lotus Boutique, which we still run now. We still sell silk accessories imported from Cambodia, and the money is reinvested in supporting the artisans. And I started an ethical fashion blog on Little Lotus Boutique, and then I was looking for a way that I could promote that, really, and that's how Ethical Hour came about. And I'd kind of met some amazing people and brands that were doing good things and said we should all get together and have a chat every week. So we started that on Twitter using the hashtag Ethical Hour, and it really took off. So we chat every Monday night, and we now have a website, a blog, a YouTube channel, and various different resources and information and community for ethical business owners, bloggers, and consumers.
Yeah, no, as you say, it's really taken off, isn't it? Because when you've just recently celebrated your first birthday.
We did, yeah, at the beginning of June.
And it's just in a year, seems to, whether it feels like that for you or not, but it seems to have gone from starting from zero, as everybody does, to really the reach that you get each week now is quite astonishing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I definitely didn't expect it. I kind of, the first week I was sat there and I'd messaged a few people that I knew just saying, you know, 8 o'clock on a Monday night, why don't we have this chat and all kind of do a tweet up. So it's like networking, but you can do it in your pyjamas.
My favourite kind.
Then I was just sat there thinking, yeah, exactly. I was sat there thinking, is anyone going to show up? What's going to happen? And then within a few weeks, we had loads of people taking part, and kind of well-known ethical brands. So we had Divine Chocolate were getting involved within the first few weeks, Lush Cosmetics, Oxfam Fashion, and started to get kind of high-profile journalists involved. So Lucy Siegel is really involved in ethical fashion. She's been involved in it a few times. And it's just, as you said, the reach has grown and grown. And I think now the hashtag Ethical Hour on a Monday night for about an hour reaches over 1 million people every week during that time slot alone, worldwide. And it pretty much every week trends in the UK, top 20 or top 10 trends.
So we're going to focus today on Twitter, and we're kind of going to go back to basics for everybody, because I'm sure there might be some people listening going, what's a hashtag and what's trending? Yeah. And but I'd really love to know, to start with, why you, and it sounds like it may not have been that intentional, but why you chose Twitter as the place to sort of start and grow that brand and what has become the business as well.
Yeah, so I had for the blog a Twitter account, Instagram account and Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And I actually work in marketing in my day job. Mm-hmm. So I've been using obviously various different forms of social media for years for different purposes.
Yeah.
And one thing that was working quite well in my day job at the time, which was for an accountant, was Worcestershire Hour. So that's local to me. I'm based in Worcestershire. And on a Monday night, everybody tweets using hashtag Worcestershire Hour. And it's like a local networking event, but without you having to go out to it. So it's a hashtag is basically just a search term. So if you pop that in your tweet, then everybody that's looking at that search term will be able to see your tweet and see other tweets that are going on. So it's quite a good way of having a conversation if you just agree a time. So I was using that a lot in my day job, and I was looking for ways to promote the blog more. It was doing okay on Instagram, mostly my friends following it on Facebook, a few Twitter followers, but nothing kind of massive. And so I thought, well, there must be a Twitter chat for ethical businesses, ethical blogs, and did some searching, and there wasn't, which really surprised me. So then I decided that I would set it up.
Yeah.
So I set up its own Twitter account for it. So it's at Ethical Hour. Mm-hmm. And went from there, really.
Fabulous. So if we do go back to basics, how does Twitter work? Because I speak to a lot of people when they're starting up businesses or even with reasonably established businesses, and they will say, oh, I joined Twitter, but I don't really understand how it works. I don't get it, so I don't really use it.
Yeah, I hear that a lot too. I think Twitter's probably one of the perceived to be one of the scarier ones in terms of social media, but I don't think it is. I think that's just because there's not as much of a reason to use it for just a personal account. People do, but it's, you know, whereas most people are on Facebook, not everybody is on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But Twitter basically is short, snappy updates. So you're limited to a short number of characters in your tweet. Mm-hmm. So it's short messages. You can include pictures, you can include videos, you can include links, but it's very real time. So it's very, this is what I'm doing now. Mm. It works very well at events. So I'm at this event, and it kind of centers around hashtags, really.
Yes.
So you get followers, and you can follow people and see what they're up to and see their tweets. But really the power in Twitter is in the hashtags. So if you go to an event, you'll probably find that that event or conference or whatever it is has a hashtag, and you can kind of follow along with what's going on there. And some of the really good things you can use it for, obviously, are Twitter chats. And you can find them for pretty much any industry, any niche nowadays. And so there's some really big ones, and then obviously there's some more niche ones, and events as well. And also lots and lots of journalists use Twitter because it's so in the moment.
Yes.
So a lot of news now, when it's breaking, will be broken on Twitter. That's where you'll find
crazy.
It's quite scary, actually. And that's where obviously you have to be careful with fake news and things, because they're tweeting so quickly that they're not always verifying where that information is coming from. But you can live stream on Twitter the same as you can on Facebook, and it's really in the moment. So journalists use it a lot to find sources. So if you can build your profile as an expert in your area on Twitter, you will get opportunities from the back of it in the press.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've just had a fabulous opportunity, haven't you?
I did. So I was approached to go on BBC Radio 4's Today Show, which is one of their flagship shows last week, and they emailed me, but I'm assuming that they found me through Twitter because it was the day after an MP had made a comment about Uber and their kind of unethical labour practices, and it had sparked a debate on the show about ethical consumerism. And this was on the Tuesday, and we'd had the Ethical Hour chat the day before. So I'm assuming that they've put in some sort of keyword around ethical consumer, ethical consumerism, whatever, and it's brought up our tweets from that chat. And then they've looked at the Ethical Hour account. And I've also got a sort of personal professional account that is just me that's linked to Ethical Hour. So I'm assuming they then found that and then emailed me from there. So I went there to talk about ethical consumerism.
And we were talking, weren't we, before I hit record on this about the almost bizarreness of going into that environment and how they just seem to make this assumption that you know exactly what to do and where to, you know, what to talk into and when to talk and all those sorts of things. It can be quite intimidating, can't it?
Yeah, it's a bit scary, but it's definitely worth doing. You know, if you ever get approached for anything like that, you've kind of just got to throw yourself into it and be like, okay, this is going to be scary, but I'm going to do it because it's, yeah, people were tweeting me saying they loved the interview. They thought it was really good. And a few more journalists have contacted me since then. So I think Twitter is really, really good for kind of generating opportunities like that. And then obviously you've just got to be in the right frame of mind and the right position to be able to follow them up.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that would be my sort of takeaway point for Twitter, is it's all about connections, really, I think. And you can, it's that level playing field. You can tweet whoever you want, you know, and yes, they might not reply to you or they might not even read it, but you know, you can tweet journalists that you would probably never even dream of emailing or ringing up. And it just feels, I don't know, a less scary proposition, perhaps, just to send a quick tweet and be done with it.
That's it, exactly. And it is almost like being in a room with your idols and your industry influencers and people, because like I'll read books now about ethical fashion and things, and I'll tweet the author if they're on Twitter, and they'll tweet back and they'll like your tweets, they'll retweet it, and you know, it does put you in a room with those people, which you wouldn't get that opportunity.
Yeah, it's a great leveler, isn't it?
Definitely.
So who would you say should be using Twitter and why?
So I think it really needs to have a bit of a strategy with it if you're going to use it, but there's various different ways you can use it. So I think anyone who's looking at building a personal brand should definitely be on Twitter, and trying to build themselves as an expert in their field, whatever their field may be. You will find a community on Twitter for that niche that you're in, so you should definitely be on there. And likewise, businesses, it's a really good opportunity for businesses of any size, but again, especially for small businesses, startups, and ethical businesses that are kind of on the smaller side, or on, you know, are young businesses. Again, it just puts you in a room with people that you wouldn't get to be in a room with.
Yes.
And it raises your profile, and there's so many opportunities, and there's, you know, competitions and things you can enter to get exposure for your brand. So a good example of that is Theo Pafitis, who was on Dragon's Den, which is the British version of Shark Tank, if you've got anyone from the US. They don't always know what Dragon's Den is, but Shark Tank.
Shark Tank I don't know which sounds scarier, I'm not sure.
I think Shark Tank is scarier.
At least the dragon's an invented thing. Yeah, it's not really.
Yeah, exactly. So he was a dragon on there quite a few years ago now, wasn't he? But he's so he does SBS on a Sunday. So you can tweet him. I can't remember the times, but it's early evening on a Sunday night. You can tweet him saying what your business does, and a link to your website if you want, images if you want, but tweet it to him and include the hashtag SBS, and then the next day he chooses his four or five favorites and he retweets them, which obviously he's got millions of followers, so that's really good exposure. But he then has an SBS club, so you then get exclusive access to his club and you get to go to events, and you, I think you can sell on the website as well, I think, because his background is retail, so I think it works really well for retail businesses. So that's, you know, a really good opportunity to, again, get in front of somebody that, unless you are brave enough to apply to go on Dragon's Den, which I'm definitely not, and, you know, you might not be ready for that, and you might not want to do that, but you can get in front of him and then get access to this community. And we actually had one of the girls from Ethical Hour did win that. I think she won it twice because she runs two businesses.
Wow.
And I think she won that. And another one, Jacqueline Gold, who started Anne Summers, does one on a Wednesday for women in business. So again, if you're a woman running an ethical business, you can get on there. And she does a similar thing that she features winners on her blog and things. So again, really good exposure that you just wouldn't get from anywhere else.
Absolutely. So we've talked quite a lot about the pros of Twitter. What would you say are the cons?
I think the thing that puts people off the most, aside from getting to understand it, because it does take a little bit of time to get used to it, is probably the worry about negative feedback. Mm-hmm. And this is something I hear for all social media, so it's not just Twitter. But the biggest thing I've come across with people not wanting to get their business on social media and Twitter especially is, what if I get negative feedback, negative comments,
right,
nasty comments, that kind of thing. And the thing that I always tell people with this is that if somebody has got something nasty to say about your business, unfortunately, they're going to say it anyway, whether or not you're on Twitter to see it.
Yes.
So if they're going to tweet something negative about your business, they're going to do that anyway. Obviously, if you're on there and they're going to do it, they can tag you in and then people can see your business profile. But the good thing about it, and the same with Facebook reviews and TripAdvisor and everything, is that it gives you a voice to come back to that.
Yeah.
So I think you need to kind of be a bit prepared for what you're going to say if that happens. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't put you off, because at the end of the day, it doesn't happen very often.
No. I don't think I've ever had on Twitter, I don't think I've ever had a nasty, listen, I'm touching wood frantically as I say,
I
don't think I've ever had a particularly negative conversation or, you know, Twitter station, whatever it is, with anybody. I've had some random people message me on Facebook after I had a lot of press for something a couple of years ago. And I just think, oh, you've taken time out of your day to hunt me down on Facebook and send me a private message, you know, really quite nasty private message. And you just think, oh, what's all that about? And you just block them and move on. But I would be ashamed that it's really not a particularly common phenomenon at all.
No, not at all. I've never had it to my Ethical Hour account or my personal account. I've had it at businesses that I've worked for in the past. More of it gives customers somewhere to complain.
Yeah.
So I think you may be a bit more open to it if you're a product-based business as well.
It gives people a very public platform to vent their frustrations on.
That's it, exactly. But the worst thing you can do if it's public, so if it's a private message like yours were, then absolutely just block and move on, because you're not going to win in that situation, because they're just going to think they're right and it's just going to drain your time and energy. So absolutely block and move on. If it's public, so if it's someone's comment on your Facebook wall or if it's a review or it's a tweet that other people can see, I would always advise brands and businesses to reply. Not indefinitely, you know, if it's getting unreasonable. And I would always try and move it offline so it's not public. And you'll see big companies do it that use Twitter completely for customer support. They'll do it and say, okay, can you let us know the best contact number or whatever to reach you on, and take it offline as soon as possible. But it always looks good for businesses to be seen to kind of go back with a reply.
Yes, to be responding and to be responding helpfully and not defensively.
That's it. And I think for ethical businesses as well, one thing that you might find is that you get questioned on your ethics, not in an accusatory way or a negative way, but, you know, people want to do their research and people want to find out. And actually, it gives you a really good platform to have that dialogue as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a hashtag, isn't there? The Fashion Revolution started the Who Made My Clothes one. And that's a really big hashtag every April for Fashion Revolution, in that they encourage people to tweet the big brands and ask that question and say, who made my clothes?
Yeah, exactly. So it's opening up that dialogue and having that conversation. It gives you a really good way of doing that. And actually, it can reduce some of your admin hours, because if you're getting asked that question all the time on email, if you tweet it and people go to your Twitter feed and see that you've answered it, they can see the answer there. It's going to stop them kind of getting in your inbox and taking up your time. So
And any other disadvantages of Twitter?
I think it's not what I hear a lot is that, oh, I don't get anything from Twitter.
Yeah.
And I think that comes about when you haven't got a strategy. Mm-hmm. And then it can be really slow to get followers and, you know, pick up any pace. So I think you really need to have a strategy behind what kind of content are we going to share? What do we want to achieve from Twitter? And what are we going to take part in? So what Twitter chats and what debates mm-hmm. and things like that.
Brilliant. And that brings me really nicely on. My next question was going to be about strategy for Twitter. And when you started Ethical Hour, did you have a specific strategy or were you just, okay, I'm going to start this and see what happens?
Yeah, it was kind of a wing and a prayer, really, which obviously I wouldn't advise people to do. But no, that does happen. And I think when social media platforms are new and things, you can jump on there and just try it out, or when you're using it in a new way. So for me, I'd never hosted a Twitter chat before. I'd taken part in them. I didn't know if that was going to become anything. Mm-hmm. And obviously it is its own business now, but I wasn't starting out with the intention of starting a business.
Yeah.
So I think I could get away without having a bit of a strategy.
Yes. Yeah. And in terms of a strategy, I'm assuming it's just the same as any kind of marketing strategy in terms of knowing what you want to say, who you want to say it to, how you're going to say it, when you're going to say it, all those kinds of things.
That's it, exactly. So the simplest place to start with any social media platform is, what is the goal of being on here? Mm. What do we want? So it might be that you want to use that as your customer service, mm-hmm. Which the big energy and rail companies and people do now. I wouldn't advise that if you're a small business, because you probably don't get enough customer service inquiries to do that in the first place. And if you do, it's going to take you a lot of time.
Yes.
But that's an example of one goal, one purpose of doing that. It might be to build up your thought leadership. Mm-hmm. So even if you have a business, it might be about building your personal brands. It might be getting you press opportunities, mm-hmm. getting you interviews, getting you speaking engagements, and just showing off your expertise. Mm-hmm. It might be to get sales and to meet new customers.
Yeah.
It just depends really what you want to achieve, and setting a goal and then going from there. So who do we want to talk to?
Yeah.
And like you said, when are we going to talk to them? What are we going to talk to them about?
Absolutely. And I think that really helps to drive how you use it. If you are really clear in the beginning, okay, this is my sales tool, or this is how I'm going to build my tribe, or this is how I'm going to get my message out there. Because otherwise you probably are just sitting there thinking, what do I do with this?
Yeah, that's it, exactly. And you should get it to a point where you don't ever sit there and think, what am I going to tweet today? Mm. Oh, no, I haven't tweeted for 2 weeks. What am I going to tweet about?
Yeah, OK. And on Facebook, we all know that Facebook at the moment seems to be encouraging video and especially live video. And in the same way on Twitter, are there particular posts that work better? Should we always post with a picture? Should we be posting video? You mentioned live streaming. What works well?
Image posts and video does generally do better, mm-hmm. and that's on Facebook. It's more because of their algorithms.
Yeah.
So they have complicated bits of code that decide what to show us and what not, because there's so much content going on there.
Yeah.
So you physically couldn't see everything that is being posted to your newsfeed. So they decide, and they're pushing live video at the moment because they're in direct competition with YouTube.
Yeah.
So they're really pushing engagement on live video. Mm-hmm. Twitter's a little bit different. There is an algorithm, but it's not as kind of complicated as far as I know. It probably is complicated, but it doesn't hide your posts in the same way that Facebook does, because that's like the biggest frustration with Facebook for a lot of people. But with Twitter, because it's in the moment, if you're sat on there, it will just change constantly anyway. You'll constantly be getting new tweets, and it moves really, really fast anyway. But I think because we're getting so used to visual content on the other platforms, we've kind of conditioned ourselves to engage with visual content more.
Yeah.
So video and images are always going to do better
mm-hmm.
at the moment.
And in terms of building engagement with what you're putting out there, so there's the video and the pictures. Have you got any other tips for how we don't get those tumbleweed moments when we tweet stuff out?
Yeah, I think hashtags are definitely key.
Uh-huh.
So finding the right hashtags, very similar to Instagram. So just making sure that you're tweeting with the right hashtags, mm-hmm. especially when you don't have many followers.
Right.
Because people will only find you if they're searching for you or searching by hashtag for that tip. So there's some really good tools that you can use. I'm trying to remember. Hashtagify is one.
Okay.
Which you can put in a hashtag. So let's say ethical fashion as your hashtag, and then it will tell you the other popular hashtags around that hashtag that people use. So it would probably bring up for that fashion revolution as one. Who made my clothes as one. So having a bit of a dig around and looking and seeing what people in your niche are tweeting.
Yes.
And using the same hashtags to get your content found.
Yeah, and that's hashtagify, did you say?
Yes, it's hashtagify. And there's a dot in there, so it's not like hashtagify.com or whatever, but if you Google it, it comes. Cool. And that's a really useful free tool.
That sounds amazing. I haven't heard of that one before. That's brilliant.
It's really, really good.
And when we're first starting, how would you recommend we build a following?
So I think spending a bit of time finding people to follow, because you'll probably find that people will follow you back.
So just
having a think about what niche you want to be known for and what your specialty areas are going to be on there, and kind of searching for that. So you can just search ethical fashion. It doesn't have to be a hashtag, for example. Obviously that could be anything, but you can search that and it will have a section where it suggests people, and then it'll show you people relating to. So if you've put that in your bio, you will come up in that search term. So, yeah, just following people and getting involved in conversations, obviously taking part in Ethical Hour and other Twitter chats. Just kind of having patience, I think, because it can take a little while to build up momentum, but making sure that you post regularly. And, you know, on Twitter, you can post 3 or 4 times a day and you can post things again. So if you share your blog post, you don't just have to share it once and never again, because... people won't see it because it's so in the moment.
It moves so quickly, doesn't it?
That's it, exactly.
And the thing I found when I first started, and I was thinking, well, you know, who do I even follow? I found 2 or 3 people I wanted to follow, and then I looked at who they were following, and then that gave me some more clues as to who to follow. And you do end up going down a bit of a rabbit hole, and before you know it, you're like, oh, I'm following 600 people, how did that happen?
That's it, exactly. So that's a really good way of doing it. It's like looking at who they follow and moving on from there.
And then, as you say, hopefully some of those people will follow you back, or you can start having a conversation with some of them, and it just does just slowly build. But I think it's the same as with any platform, in that although it's a fast moving platform, it does just take some patience, doesn't it, to build a following, unless you have something that really takes off, like Ethical Hour.
Yeah, that's it. And it really shocked me how quickly Ethical Hour took off. I wasn't expecting that. But I think also don't be afraid to start conversations. It's not like Facebook, where you have to be friends with someone to be able to talk to them. You don't have to be following them or them following you. You do for private messages, but for sort of public tweets. So if somebody's tweeted an article that you're interested in, you can tweet back with your opinion on that article and start a bit of a conversation. And don't worry if people don't reply, because some, you know, if it, especially if it's a big account, they're getting loads of notifications every day. Don't take that too personally, just kind of move on. You know, very quick, very snappy.
And you mentioned that part of your Twitter strategy might be that you're using it to drive sales. Is it okay to sell on Twitter?
I think with any social media, it's not okay to be overly salesy, because that's not why people are there. So you can do it, but it's probably not going to get you results. And I always advise people with any social media platform is think about why people are going there. So on Facebook, you use Facebook to connect with your friends and family. You want to see photos of what they're up to. You want to see where they are on holiday. It might annoy you, but you're there to see pictures of their dinner and stuff. You've, as a brand, you need to sort of integrate yourself into that, so that when somebody is scrolling through their newsfeed, it doesn't glare out to them that that's branded content. It needs to kind of integrate with their experience. So the same applies to Twitter. So even if you want to sell products, your best bet really is going to be thinking about why people go to Twitter. So people are using Twitter to catch up on the news, to read articles. So they'll follow, you know, newspapers and magazines that they like to read the latest articles, to follow, find out more about topics they're interested in, to do research. So again, if you go down the thought leadership angle of sharing helpful content about topics relating to your product or service, that's going to grab the attention of people more than, hey, buy my product.
Yes, absolutely. And I've talked in the last couple of episodes, we've done marketing and Facebook And both of those interviewees, both Michelle and Kathy, said 80-20 rule in terms of value to sales posts. Would you say that that same rough proportions apply?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a really good rule to follow.
Yeah. And when people talk about spamming, what does that mean?
So spamming can be various different things. I think being overly salesy can be considered a spam. One thing that is my real pet peeve is when people share links that they obviously haven't read.
Right.
So on Twitter, you can retweet somebody, which basically, if you sent out a tweet today with one of your blog posts and I know that it's a good post, I can retweet it and that will send your tweet to my followers.
Yeah.
Because although we've probably got followers in common, we will also have different followers.
Yes.
So I can share that with my followers and I can either share it directly or I can quote it and add a comment with it.
Yeah.
So it'll ask you when you click retweet to either retweet or quote tweet.
Mm-hmm.
And quote tweet is where you can add your opinion or whatever you want to add. But it's very easy to just go on there and retweet the top two things in your newsfeed because you know that you haven't tweeted for a while. And it is a really good idea to retweet people's content because it gets their attention and it also shows that you're engaging with your community and you're not just kind of broadcasting, which can also be spammy if you're just kind of shouting about you all the time. But I would say if you're going to tweet a link or tweet an article or there's any kind of link in there, just check what that is first. And check that it's a good quality post. Even if you just skim read it, which obviously, hopefully, if you're sharing content, you're going to check it all out and you're going to know it's really good. But even if you just have a quick skim read first, just make sure that it is quality, because you've got to think about it that your followers are your community and you want to be able to serve that community. And everything you put in front of them is an interaction with them that says something about your brand. Even if it's someone else's branded content, that's you endorsing it. And a lot of people you'll see in their bio some sort of variation of retweets don't equal endorsements. But even if you say that, you are endorsing that person or that brand by retweeting them.
You're almost saying I agree with what this person has shared.
Unless you've quoted it and said I totally disagree with this article and this is why.
Absolutely. And are there any other big no-nos?
So one of the things that is really annoying is when people only post scheduled content. So there's some really good free tools out there that you can get that you can put all your updates in for the week or the month or indefinitely, and it'll post it for you. And they're really, really good tools. I use them. I think people think I'm on Twitter all the time because it's constantly posting. But I'm not. It is just scheduled content. But because Twitter is all about live in the moment, it's fine to post your blog posts on there and things and have those scheduled. But it's also really important to make sure that you do spend time on there live. And I'd recommend at least every day. It doesn't have to be hours and hours. It doesn't have to like take up all your time, but, you know, just check in for 10 minutes here and there, like maybe once or twice a day. Retweet a couple of things, speak to a few people, and you're only going to get out of it what you put in. So the more time you spend on there chatting to people, the more opportunities you are going to get. But it really needs to look like your account is interacting with people.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, even if you're just there whilst you're waiting for the kettle to boil or 5 minutes while you're waiting for the kids to come out of school and those kinds of things. But it's those interactions, isn't it? And when people, if they think, oh, who's this person? And they click on your bio and your profile and all you've ever got is what are very obviously scheduled tweets and there's no interaction there. People aren't going to be interested in following or in interacting back, are they?
That's it, exactly. And I think also making sure that your profile is complete as possible. So when you first join, before you have a profile picture, you're just an egg. Just please don't stay as an egg. Please put some sort of picture up there, whether it's your logo or a picture of you or a picture of your product. Research is showing that pictures of people tend to do better. Accounts get more engagement, but obviously if you're a business you might not want that, so you might want your logo, but something nice and clear that people can read that says a bit about you, but as long as you're not an egg.
Don't be an egg. Brilliant. And you just mentioned scheduling tools there, and like you said, people assume you're glued to your phone, and one of my questions was how do you manage Twitter in the same way as any other social media without it taking over your life? So can you just give us some tips on scheduling tools and how they work and some good ones to try?
Yeah, so there's loads out there that you can try, and you can get free ones, you can get ones that you pay for. I would say unless you're a massive marketing agency or you're a massive brand, you don't necessarily need to pay. You can get good enough free ones. Mm-hmm. The only thing that is usually limited is the number of social platforms that you can manage.
Yeah.
So really, really good one that I use is Hootsuite. Mm-hmm. And they've got a little owl as their logo, and they've got a really good blog full of marketing advice and stuff. And their free plan is, I think, up to 3 social networks.
Okay.
So you could have your Twitter, your Facebook page, and your LinkedIn or whatever you wanted on there. But any more than that, and you have to pay.
Yeah.
So that's a really good one. And you can just go on there. So you can either write all your updates in a spreadsheet if you wanted to and then upload it, or you can just go on there and post them directly into there. And then you can tell it to either post them automatically or tell it what time to post them. So I'd recommend Hootsuite if you want to say tweet this on Monday at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Another really good one is Buffer. And that's especially good for Twitter because it gives you some good analytics. So you can get analytics on Twitter anyway, and I'd recommend getting to grips with the basics of that and how that works. Mm-hmm. But with Buffer, you schedule a queue, and when you're on a free plan, it's up to 10 updates. So you can put 10 tweets in there and tell it how many times you want to tweet per day. So Let's say you tweet twice a day. And it will post them at the best times. So the more you use it and the more you tweet from it, the more it will work out when you get the best engagement.
Yeah.
And it'll do that automatically for you. Obviously, the only downside is that it is only 10 tweets,
sure.
And then you have to pay. But it is quite affordable. So that's probably one that I would recommend paying for if you want kind of a nice, simple way of managing your Twitter. And then you can look in the analytics on there, and it will rank it by your most popular tweet. And you can rebuffer it. So you can say, OK, these were my top 5 tweets.
Oh, OK.
Some retweets. Yeah. I'll rebuffer them and share them again.
Brilliant.
So that's a good one.
So I'll share the links to all of these in the show notes. And then when you mentioned the analytics there, what I always kind of shudder and run away from any kind of analysis. but what are the things that we should be looking at when we're looking at our general Twitter analytics?
So when you go to the analytics platform on Twitter, there are a few scary words and things on there, like impressions.
Right.
But that's basically how many people have seen what you're tweeting.
Yeah.
So it depends how detailed you want to go. Obviously, if you're a social media manager looking after client accounts, then you're going to want loads of analytics. If you're an everyday user, probably not. But a good thing you can find out from that is like the best time of day to tweet, for example.
Okay.
But again, Buffer will work that out for you. So if you want to do it kind of the easy way, go with Buffer. But one great thing on there, it shows you kind of how many new followers you've had each month and how many people visited your profile and stuff like that. So it's just good to keep an eye on.
Sure.
But one really good part is it will give you audience insights. So there's a separate tab on there for audience insights. And obviously, as you build up followers, it will start to give you data on who they are. So it won't tell you like details on individual people,
sure.
But it will say in general 50% of your audience is female,
okay.
Or 10% is female or whatever.
Yeah.
It will give you age brackets, it will give you their estimated household income.
Wow.
And it will profile them, so it will also give you their top interests. So it's got its own categories, so they're not kind of as detailed as they maybe could be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's things like business and news, technology, fashion.
Brilliant.
I think one of them is something like green solutions, but it's all about kind of environmental. And that's one of the top ones for Ethical Hour. So it just gives you an idea that you're talking about the right things.
Yeah.
And it can give you a bit of an insight. If you look on there and think, OK, well, my audience are really interested in business and news, but I don't really tweet anything about the news. Maybe I could start doing that and that'll get more engagement.
Absolutely. And presumably you can then use that to inform the rest of your marketing when you're trying to think about who it is that you're speaking to. You can use some of that information to build up, you know, these customer avatars and things like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you've got any sort of website, definitely get Google Analytics on there from day one.
Uh-huh.
Either pay somebody to do it for you if you've got a web developer, or you can go on like a freelancer website and get people fairly cheaply to do it. And it looks scary, but it's not as complicated as it looks. And that will give you some really, really good data on who your web visitors are. And Facebook will also give you those insights. In the Facebook platform, in your page insights.
Yes.
And Instagram is starting to do that as well. So definitely be looking at that to see two questions, really. Am I reaching the right people?
Yeah.
Because you should have an idea of who you want to reach anyway. So if it's really not matching up to that, then you need to change something that you're doing. Mm. And how can I find out more about these people and give them more of what they want and find more of them?
Yeah, absolutely. And have you found when you've been looking at them across the platform that your demographic is similar across all the platforms, or are there any marked differences?
It's definitely similar. So for Ethical Hour, the majority of people are in either based in the UK or the US, although we do have people worldwide, that's the majority. We're about 70-30 split female to male.
Okay.
But that does change slightly on different platforms. So Instagram in general, although it's changing as it's becoming more mainstream, Instagram kind of historically has had a more female audience in general. So the proportion of female to male on Instagram on my followers is higher, but that'll be because Instagram in general is higher, I would imagine. And then, yeah, the interests are fairly similar across the platforms. So the only thing that really differs is the best time to post.
Okay.
Yeah. That's different for all the platforms.
Okie dokes. Brillo. And so for anyone who's listening and thinking, okay, you've sold me on Twitter, but I still have no desire to manage my own Twitter account, are there any options for them to still have a presence on there without having to physically do it themselves?
Definitely. So you can hire people to do it for you, and you can brief them on your brand, and you can be as involved or not as you want in that. So I work with customers to do that. And some of them give me all the content and they want to sit down one night a month and write all the tweets for that month. But then they want me to put it in and reply to people and do the Twitter chats. Okay. And some of them just say, I just want to be on Twitter, but I don't want to ever touch it. And so I'll manage their whole account for them.
Yeah.
So it depends kind of how involved you want to be, but there's definitely plenty of options out there.
Brilliant. And how important do you think it is to have that personal voice on Twitter and as a small business brand?
I think it's really important. And I think, again, it's because it puts you on the same platform as big brands. Mm-hmm. Customers use it for research, so it's a good place for you to be, for them to find you. Mm-hmm. And I think with any social media, you know, you're going to do so much better if you're just authentic. So a lot of people get hung up on what should my voice be? How professional should I be? But I think just be yourself.
Yes.
And be your professional self. So we all have different kind of, not different personalities, but different sides of ourselves. Yes. You're different with your friends than you are with your mum, to your work colleagues and so on and so forth. So just be your professional self.
Yeah.
And then you will come across as authentic and people will warm to you and you'll build relationships that way. And also then when you get opportunities off the back of it, because the idea is that it will translate into real world things. So whether that's speaking at a conference or going on a podcast or, you know, journalist opportunities, whatever it may be, you're then not, you're authentic. So it's going to be you that comes across.
Yes. And I've been so pleasantly, not surprised, but the people that I've connected with on the podcast and interviewed on the podcast, lots of them are people that I have followed on Twitter. And I have an idea in my head of how they're going to be when I speak to them in person. And 99% of the time that has been entirely true. And I think it just shows you how much of your personality can come across in those 140 characters or whatever.
Definitely. And I think people worry about that. You know, they think, oh, I need to be funny or I need to be very serious or whatever. But I think just be yourself.
Yeah.
And you know, if you are someone who uses emojis and GIFs when you text people, then use emojis and GIFs in your tweets. And if you're not, then don't try and force that.
Yes. And remember that people ultimately buy from people. So I think people want that personal connection and they don't want to feel like they're connecting with a brand. They want to feel like they're connecting with the person behind the brand, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Brilliant. So we've talked quite a lot about Twitter chats in general, but do you have any tips for joining in with them and anything specific for anyone who wants to join in with Ethical Hour?
Yeah, so I think Twitter chats can be very, very busy, especially the bigger ones, and we're finding that Ethical Hour is getting busier and busier every week. So it can be useful just to watch the first one if you think you want to get involved. Just go along to the first one and just watch it. So at the time that it's on, pop in the hashtag, whatever hashtag they use. So for us, it's hashtag ethical hour, and go to the latest search results.
Yes.
And just watch what's happening. And you'll find that each one has different ways of doing things. So we try and keep promotion to a very minimum. Mm-hmm. So we'll do kind of 5 minutes of everybody introducing themselves with a promotional tweet.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a topic. So each week we have a different topic, mm-hmm. and we'll ask questions and we'll have a debate. And we tend to do Q1, Q2, Q3 for our questions. So people can do like A1, A2, A3. So we can keep track of who's answering questions. Sure. But other chats will do things differently. So some will be more promotional, and some won't have a topic. It'll just be kind of a general meetup. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just get a feel for it, see how it goes. You might find that the sort of host of the chat has a website. So for example, we've got an Ethical Hour website, we've got an Ethical Hour account, and we've got a blog post on there that says how to make the most of your Twitter chat for the first time and how to use it. So there are resources out there.
Yeah.
But if in doubt, contact the host, because you'll generally be able to tell who that is, and just say, you know, it's going to be my first one. What are your tips for getting involved? And I'll usually send people to the blog post and then say, if you need anything else, just come back. But I usually say, watch one, see how it goes, and then just jump right in.
Yeah. And especially with Ethical Hour, I would say to people, don't be afraid, don't be intimidated, because it's such a friendly and welcoming community. And, you know, if somebody ever says, oh, it's my first time here tonight, you can guarantee that several people will say, oh, welcome to the chat, and how are you, and how are you, and things, won't they?
That's it. And I think it's a bit like, you worry, it's like going to a party, isn't it, and walking into a room full of people you don't know. It's a little bit worrying, but we are a very friendly bunch. And I actually encourage people now, if anyone messages me and says I've never taken part before, I encourage them that when it is their first chat to say that it's their first chat, because then people do go out of their way to talk to that person and to kind of tell them what's going on.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I think the other thing I would say, if it's your first one, is try and get there at the beginning. I joined in last week and tried to join in from 1:30, and there was no way I was catching up.
Yeah, definitely. And also, just don't worry about trying to keep up with everything.
Yeah.
Because if you try and see every tweet, you'll just go mad.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you must do, don't you?
Yeah, I don't even see every tweet anymore. Like, I review it the next morning. I used to see every single tweet, and I review it the next morning now, just to see like anything else I need to reply to or any opportunities that have come up or anything. And I always find new tweets. I'm like, how didn't I see that?
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's
but
amazing.
It's just so busy.
Yeah, definitely. So finally then, what are your three top tips for building engagement and for building a following on Twitter? We may have already covered some of these, but I thought it might be nice to get a top three.
Definitely. I think my top three would be, the first one would definitely be yourself, mm-hmm. And let your personality shine through. The second one, I think, would be to find people in your niche that you want to be known for, and connect with them and have personal conversations and just reach out to people and connect with them. Mm-hmm. And finally would be to add value. So everything that you tweet, question, ask yourself, what does this say about my brand?
Yeah.
And what value does this add to my followers? Mm-hmm. And that will make sure that you're sharing good quality content that people will carry on following you for.
Yeah, brilliant. No, those are fabulous. Thank you. So I said that was the last question, or nearly the last question, and I keep forgetting to ask this question at the beginning, but tea or coffee?
Definitely tea. Yorkshire tea. I'm a Yorkshire lass.
Good, strong builder's brew.
Nice, strong cup of Yorkshire tea.
Brilliant.
Milk, no sugar.
Fabulous. So where can we find you if we want to come and join in with Ethical Hour, or we want to engage more?
So you can find me on Twitter.
Always.
Just search for Ethical Hour, either the hashtag or just the words, and you will find the Ethical Hour account. And from there, you'll get all the information you need about our website, Facebook group, and all the other good stuff that we've got going on.
Brilliant. Yeah, because I should have said as well that, as well as the website that span off from the Twitter chat, you've also got this brilliant Facebook community as well, haven't you, where that allows people to almost carry on the Ethical Hour chat throughout the week.
Yeah, so I was finding that because we get people from all around the world, time difference has become a bit of an issue, because our Twitter chat is at 8 p.m. British summertime at the moment, obviously Greenwich mean time in the winter, but UK time, 8 p.m. till 9 p.m. But for people in Australia and Canada and Dubai and all the amazing countries that people come from, some of them were struggling to get involved. So we've got a Facebook group where we keep the chat going all week.
Yeah, and it's a lovely place to be and to connect with people again, isn't it?
It is. It's just a brilliant community feel to it. And everybody just helps each other out and gives each other advice and support. And it's just great.
Fabulous. And what are your plans for Ethical Hour, for the network moving forward?
So many plans. It's really, really taken off, which has been amazing. So we do sponsors at the moment. So we have brands sponsor the Twitter chats every week, and the money from that covers things like the hosting and the running costs. And then we reinvest our profits into two different causes. So one of them is Stand for Trees. So that's the aim of that is to reduce our carbon footprint.
Brilliant.
By buying patches of rainforest and different projects and supporting different projects through Stand for Trees. And the other one that we do is investing in microfinance loans through Lend with Care.
Yeah.
For entrepreneurs in developing countries. So that's been fantastic. So yeah, definitely support those causes more. We're going to be launching a training academy with marketing and branding training courses for ethical business owners. We're going to be launching a podcast.
Wow.
And we're going to be launching a series of ebooks about ethical consumption.
Wow, you're going to be busy.
I'm going to be very busy. I'm going to need lots of tea.
Absolutely. Yeah, keep the tea on tap. Fabulous. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us, Shan. You've shared so much value, and I hope that this has helped to sort of demystify Twitter for those people who were just a bit befuddled by the whole platform.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Fabulous. Thanks, Shan.
Thanks, Jen.
You've been listening to the Making Good podcast with me, Jen Gale. If you've enjoyed the show, I'd really love you to pop over to iTunes to leave a review and say nice things. I'd also love to hear your feedback and your thoughts, so do drop me a line on jen@jengale.co.uk or head over to my Making Good community on Facebook. Thanks for listening.